Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
Today's topic is to run to win. Do you guys like to do games? Do you guys like to have, like, play sports? Anybody like to play sports? Oh, look at all those hands up. All right, what do you guys like to play?
Everything.
Okay, that sums it all up in one sentence. Perfect. Or one word. All right, what else? What else you like to do? I like basketball.
Volleyball.
Asher?
Basketball.
What do you guys like to do? Gino, what do you like?
Soccer.
Dan, what do you like?
Racquetball.
Awesome. Ben?
Bowling.
Oh, there's all different kinds of stuff we like, isn't there? Today, we're going to talk a little bit about when you play sports. Most people like to play sports. When they play sports, one of the favorite things they like to do is to win, right? Do you like to play sports to lose? I don't. If I'm going to play a sport, I want to win. And so I try to do everything I can, aside from cheating, to win, right? That's kind of the object of sports a little bit. What we're going to talk about today is a way that Paul describes, uses sports to help us understand how we live life as a follower of Jesus. Running life, racing and running life in order to win. Question is, we kind of understand how to do that in sports, but how do we learn to do that when it comes to following Jesus? That's what we're going to look at today through this one image, this one illustration that Paul uses to connect the desire to win a competition, that desire to win a race, with desire, the desire to win precious treasures, souls who are being saved through the good news of Jesus. Now, to help us understand what Paul is talking about, it helps us to see what he was talking about before in this passage. And he's been talking about 1 Corinthians, we're in chapter 9, right? We looked we were looking at this, 1 Corinthians 9:22. Paul said this, "To the weak became I as weak, why? That I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men that I might by all means save some." Verse 23, "And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you." Listen, guys, everything I do, and he's talking about holding back some of his freedoms, things that might be okay to do, but if it may cause somebody else to stumble, he's going to not do it. He's going to put himself where they think what they think are important, he's going to make important to him too. And he's going to hold back certain liberties so that he can have a chance to share the gospel with other people, right? So he's continuing this thought, like, how do I do that? What's my focus? How do I do that? And so this is the conversation that Paul is continuing to do. And so in this last section, verses 24 through 27, he does a final, he sums it all up. He like gives it a final summary. And he says, how can I explain this to the people that are reading this letter in a way that makes sense to them? And he decided to connect it with how athletes train for an event. Verse 24 says this, "Know ye not that they which run in a race, everybody runs in a race, right? Like undokai in grade school, and I don't even know, maybe junior high, they have undokai where all the people run and everybody tries to get first place, right? Well, that's kind of like what he's talking about. Everybody runs in a race, but only one receives the prize. So run that ye may obtain." He's writing this letter to the Corinthian church family, right? Now, the Corinthians, they know sports. This is something that they love to talk about. That got their attention right away because Corinth is a sports-loving city. In fact, the whole country of Greece, the country that Corinth was in, loved sports. They had like four huge sporting events that went on throughout their life. One of the big ones, you all know this because they just came to Tokyo not too long ago, was the Olympics. The Olympics actually started in a town called Olympia, less than 200 kilometers from the city of Corinth. So every 4 years, they'd have this massive game, the Olympic Games, in that little town. And so they loved sports there, but that wasn't the only one. The Corinthian city had its own sporting event called the Isthmian Games. And that was held every 2 years in the spring. So every 2 years, spring came and the Isthmian Games would come. And everybody would be like so hyped up for it and be like, oh, who's going to run this year? Oh, man, I hope so-and-so does a good job. And so they had fans and everything like that. So they would be cheering on their guys. And so these athletes would come from all over to train and to prepare and to run and to race and to compete in these events. So what kind of sports do you think they did? Well, there was foot racing, like racing, running as fast as you could. There was chariot racing. There was boxing. There was wrestling. And one event is kind of interesting. I didn't know this. There was even an event for music and poetry, like singing and doing songs. I don't know if it was like rap battles or what, but they were doing singing and poetry events too. I don't know how they trained for that, but it must have been interesting. So Paul uses all these things. So like the Corinth people, they love sports. So Paul's like, you know what? I am going to use these sports illustrations to help them to connect to what I'm talking about. Basically, to sports fans, he became a sports fan. That's kind of what he's talking about. All things to all men. He's literally doing that right here. So how does Paul help them to see that connection of sports and letting go of your liberties for the sake of the gospel? All right, let's take a look. Verse 24 is where he starts. Verse 24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. The first thing Paul talks about is running a race. Don't you know that everybody runs in a race, but only one person receives the prize? And he's talking about those in the Isthmian Games, those games in Corinth. Everybody ran, but the only person who actually got a prize was the person who got first place. Second place was first loser. That's what it was. So everybody tried to be first place. Everybody ran as hard as they could to be first. First place was the goal. The prize of first place was what they trained for and why they ran. So Paul says, listen, guys, you know how these athletes run and train and work hard, and they have this prize that's their goal. That's their motive. That's why they train so hard and run so hard. And in the same way they run, we also ought to run to win. Run your spiritual race. Just as they train and run to win the prize in a race, you also train and you also run your spiritual race to win the prize. The question Paul is asking the people is this: what are you running for? What is your goal? He's talking about, listen, guys, they don't run aimlessly. They run for a purpose. They don't train aimlessly. They train for a purpose. So when you, in your spiritual life, know what your goal is, and then live each day focused on that goal. Run to win. Live to win the prize. So here's the question. What was the prize? What was Paul running for? And what was Paul challenging us to run for? The answer? For the greatest prize, the greatest treasure ever. The treasure of someone who chooses to put their faith in Jesus. Because it changes their eternity. You see, for those in the race, running in the race at the Isthmian Games, only one person won the prize, right? For those people, only one person got the trophy. Only one person got the prize. But for us, we all take part in winning this prize. Paul isn't saying, listen, guys, only one of you in the church is going to win. So make sure you beat everybody else in the church, because only one person gets the prize. That's not what he's saying. No, he's saying, listen, you guys, when you run, when you live life, understand that there is a prize to be gained, and run and live life recognizing that prize and seeing that prize and running towards that, living life towards that prize. Just like they train and run with the purpose of getting the prize, you do the same. Live your life as a follower of Jesus with purpose, to display the glory of God, to display the goodness of Jesus in your life, for the chance to win someone to Jesus. So how do we do that? How do we live life in a way? Let me give you just one. There's so many different ways we can do this, but I'm going to give you just one, okay? One example of how we can live with purpose toward the prize of seeing somebody come to Jesus. It's what Peter tells us in 1 Peter 3. He says this, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." As one who has been saved by faith in Jesus, you now get to spend eternity as a child of God. Think about that for a second. Because you trusted Jesus, you get to spend eternity as God's child. You have an inheritance that you are going to enjoy forever. You have a relationship with the Creator of all things. That person is your dad. Amazing, isn't it? Because of that, that gives you hope and confidence that goes far beyond whatever situation you are in. It's really interesting. The more you realize what your future is, the more it helps you to have joy in your present. The more you realize where you're going as a child of God, the more it gives you peace and joy and hope in your now, where you are right now. This is so helpful for us to remember. And it brings about hope and joy in our lives, right? As you see your future and as you understand who your Father is and as you grow more in knowing Him and loving Him and as you respond by obeying Him and worshiping Jesus, as you do that, something interesting happens. Hope and joy starts overflowing, not just in your heart, but outside of your heart, into your attitude, into your words, into your actions. Even in times when life is hard, life is uncertain, that hope and that joy will still flow out of your heart and spill outside of you. And here's what happens. Those around you will see it. They'll see it. That's weird. They're going through a tough time, but how are they able to stay joyful? How are they able to have such hope even when life isn't going well for them? That's not normal. How can they do that? What's the secret sauce in their lives? I need to ask you a question. How can you be so happy? And that is what Peter is talking about. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Not because I'm all that stuff, man. I just can overcome I'm God's good to me, you know, not that kind of stuff. No, but you have an answer for the joy in you, and that answer is all about how God saves us. But it requires preparation. It requires us to think about and to have an answer prepared for the way we live. It's running with a goal. It's living life, not just aimlessly, but living life with a purpose. That hope that naturally comes out of you as you know more and more about God. Recognize that that is going to, by nature, flow out of you in how you think, how your attitude is, how your joy is. And recognize that. Make sure that is actually coming out of you as joy and hope. And then not only that, make sure that you recognize that there will be a response and prepare for the response. Prepare for the questions that are asked of you of that. You know what that's talking about? That's just living life, running with a goal in mind. Running with a goal in mind. Be ready. As you read your Bible, your source of hope, read it with purpose, not just for your hope, but so that it can be their hope too. And in the same way that athletes prepare and train with a purpose, with their eyes on the prize, we also prepare with purpose, with our eyes focused on winning the precious prize of those around us and those around the world. So that's the goal that Paul is saying. This is what we got to do, all right? But running isn't just about training with purpose. There's more to it. It also includes self-control. What are we talking about? Look back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to go to verse 25 where it says, "And every man that striveth for the mastery," basically he's talking about an athlete. Every man that is an athlete striveth for the mastery, trying to win, is temperate, self-controlled in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Every man does his best to win. Every man who is an athlete controls himself in all things. This is really interesting. So as an athlete, think about athletes who prepare for events. Isthmian Games was the same thing. They had to be willing to refuse things that would be totally fine in other circumstances. So they choose not to eat things that will hinder them from reaching the goal. They choose not to do things that will hinder them, that pull them away from the prize. If this is going to keep me from winning the prize, I'm not going to take part in it. That's their mindset. Man, the Corinthian church family, they saw this. Once the Isthmian Games came, what was interesting is when the Isthmian Games started, all the athletes gathered from all over the place to Corinth for 10 months. They trained in Corinth for 10 months. That was part of the requirements to actually be eligible to participate in the games. So like guys who lived far away, they left their families, they left their jobs, and they came over to where they lived, or to Corinth, and they sacrificed all of that so that they could train for 10 months there. If you didn't train, you didn't participate. And then finally, the last 30 days, they trained in the gymnasium, the final month before the games. Every day they gathered for that final month to train and to prepare. In order for them to win, they had to give up a lot of things. But they were willing to in order to gain the prize. That was Paul was pointing to. To have the chance to win someone, we need to be willing to give up certain freedoms. They're not necessarily wrong things, but they're just things that may cause somebody to stumble, may cause someone to reject the gospel before even hearing it. Think about that. It means be willing to sacrifice things that may cause somebody to say, you know what, if that's how they live, I don't even want to hear the story of the what they're talking about, what they believe in. No. Don't let those little things prevent you from having the opportunity to share Jesus with them. That's an important thing. It means that we need to see our freedoms in light of the prize. See our freedoms in light of the prize, the crown. Because that crown is incredibly valuable. The crown that the athletes fought for, see, they do it to obtain what? A corruptible crown. A corruptible crown. They won, and they sacrificed themselves for that long in order to win a crown. Oh, hey, a crown is valuable, right? It's like gold, diamonds, jewelry. No. The crown that they won was a pine wreath. It was a pine wreath. It's probably worth a couple dollars. That's how much. Well, it wasn't just the crown. And it's true. It wasn't just the crown. It was for the fame and the glory that came with it. Right, man? If you won the Isthmian Games, especially the 200, there was a 200 meter dash. If you won the 200 meter dash, they literally named the games after you. You were the official Isthmian Games champion. And so for 2 years, everybody knew. Oh, what's your name? Oh, they didn't even ask the guy's name. They knew. Everybody knew him. He was famous for 2 years. And then the next games came along. And then the next person who ran the race would become famous. And you would slowly fade away into the abyss. It was fame and fortune, but it only lasted for a little while. Eventually, they would forget. It's corruptible. It doesn't last. It fades away. And yet, the crown we try to win lasts forever. It never fades. Never fades away. What we're talking about, the people who have trusted Jesus, that you had a part in sharing the gospel with, they will be with you forever. Every time you see them, for all of eternity, your soul is filled with joy. Oh, Father, thank you so much for being willing to use me to help them see your glory. Oh, Father, thank you so much for letting me be part of their salvation, for using me to glorify yourself through me so that they could be here with me. That joy is yours forever. Never ends. Never gets old. That is worth striving for. The thing about it is, there's going to be a point where you will have forgotten the things that you sacrificed for their salvation. What was it I gave up? Man, I can't remember. Do you remember? I don't remember. You know, have you ever had those things where it's like, you know, you came to a final decision and like you don't even realize how, like, what did I give up? I can't remember what I gave up. It wasn't even really that important. This is what Paul is talking about, and it's important that we see that. But it is true that in the moment, those sacrifices can seem pretty big. Those sacrifices can seem a lot bigger than they actually are in eternity, right? And so it requires us to be willing to say no to things that we may want to say yes to. And so while they may be small in the eternal perspective, it means that we still have to fight for it right now. It means we still have to fight for it here and now. And it still isn't easy now. And that's why Paul points out that it's a struggle for him too. He struggles with it. It's not easy for him too. And this is what he's talking about in verse 26 and verse 27. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. I run with a purpose. I don't just run around just randomly. And so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Even in my fighting, I don't just like punch just randomly and in the air like I'm not even paying attention. No, I'm actually fighting for a purpose. He says verse 27, but I keep under my body. This is an interesting phrase. And bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached the gospel to others, I myself should be a castaway. He says, I keep under my body. He says, the actual phrase is, I give my body a black eye. I like beat him up. And he says that. And the reason he says that is very interesting. At the very end, he says, when I have preached to others, or lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. What's he talking about? It goes back to the people he was writing to, the Corinthian church family. You see, in the Isthmian Games, there was an official announcer. Like, and getting ready to fight in corner number one or whatever. I don't know how they do it, but like that guy. The announcer was the actual person who came. When the people came together, he announced all the rules for practice, for training. Listen, guys, if you want to be participating in the games, this is what you got to do, and this is how you got to train. Tomorrow morning, we'll have practice at 5:30 in the morning. Be there or you're out. Next day, he does the same thing. Okay, these are the things that we're going to be practicing. And then once the official game starts, he announces everybody, these are the two fighters, and this is the prize that they're fighting for. And all these announcements. And then when the winner comes, he presents the winning wreath to them. He's a very important part of the games. He's the one who tells people what's going to happen and how the rules are. And Paul is basically saying, listen, guys, I'm telling you from Scripture, I'm announcing the things that we should be doing. But I'm not just the announcer. I'm actually also an athlete. So while I tell you the rules and while I show you the prize that is set before you, I'm also running for the prize. So if I tell you to get there at 5:30, but I show up at like 8:30, guess what? I'm going to be disqualified. I'm going to be cast away. I don't get to participate in winning the prize. This is where Paul is like, listen, in order for me not to be disqualified, in order for me not to be the castaway or disqualified, I make sure that I don't let my body tell me what to do. I'm going to beat my body up, basically. Put it under subjection. I'm not going to tell my body, I'm not going to let my body tell me what to do. I'm going to tell my body what to do. This is what he's talking about. What does it mean for the Christian life? Here's what it means. In order for me, and this is what's really interesting is this. Let me find where it is. Ah, here we go. What if I did something that ended up taking away the chance to be part of the mission in the person's life? In other words, like this. Okay. I had to get my thoughts back together again. So everything I'm going to be doing, I am going to be doing with the goal, with the desire of winning somebody to Jesus, right? But some parts of me, a part of me, my flesh, says, no, I don't want to give up these things. I enjoy certain privileges. I enjoy certain liberties. And my flesh says to me, why do I have to give it up? It tries to make me focus on the thing that I'm losing instead of the prize that I'm trying to gain. It's not easy. And so Paul says, listen, I will not let them do that. I will fight my body and I will win. I will give them, I'll knock them out if I have to. Talking about his body, talking about his flesh, talking about the thing that says, don't give that up. That's you. You know how much you love that. You know how much fun that is. Tries to focus my thoughts on what I'm losing instead of what I could gain. And so Paul says, I have to keep my eyes on the prize. And even though there are times when it's hard, when my flesh keeps trying to win, I will not let him win. I will control the things that may hinder somebody else from hearing Jesus. And so that is how we understand how to live life with our eyes on the prize, running to win. First, running to win and all that is involved. So, with that being understood, let me ask you three questions and then we will be done. Three quick questions. The first question is this. Is there someone you are running for? Are you running
for the prize. Who is it that you are trying to reach for Jesus? Do you have somebody in mind? Are your eyes set on the prize? Do you have a place, a focus, a goal that you're running toward? And is that set in your heart and in your mind? Second question is this. What can you do to train right now? What can you do to train right now? What can you do to be prepared to give an answer for the hope that is in you? How can you be displaying that hope in your life right now to your friends, to your family, to your coworkers, to those who are around you? How can you display that hope? What can you do to train right now? And number three, what are ways you can be running to win them? What are ways you can be running to win them? Is there something in your life that is hindering the chance to tell that person about Jesus? Is there something that your flesh says, it's okay, go ahead and do it, it's okay. Why do you have to give that up? If there is something like that, are you fighting against it? Are you giving it a black eye in order to share Jesus with that person that is your goal? Boy, what a great reminder, isn't it? What a great reminder. One, do I have a goal? Am I running towards a prize? Two, am I training for it? Am I preparing myself now? Is the joy that is within me, that hope that is within me, is it in my heart? And is it in my heart well enough that it's flowing out of my attitude, my words, my actions? Am I preparing? Do I know what I'm going to tell if somebody asks me, why are you so joyful and happy when things are going bad? And then finally, what are ways you can run towards the prize? What are things that are hindering you from sharing the gospel with others that you can set aside for the chance to win that soul for eternity? The prize is worth running for. It's worth every sacrifice, worth all of the training. So set your eyes on the prize and keep running. Faithfully, consistently, constantly running for the prize. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the ways that you have shown us through this chapter 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, of the amazing, amazing opportunity. One, first of all, that you use us. And then ways in which we can be, you give us opportunities to be used by you in ways that other people will see it, that you glorify yourself through us, and that through that, other people will see the light of Jesus in a changed life and want that as well for themselves. Help us to run to win. In Jesus' name, amen.